Hello, everybody at home. Welcome to Ours is the Theory, because I haven't actually introduced the little segment name, which I thought was really clever. I can't even remember who came up with it.
It was me.
Was it you? I
I'm
thought
going
it
to be
might have
entirely honest.
been.
It was. Yeah, I was very proud. I was very proud.
I mean, it's delightful. So this
In
was
all fairness,
House.
you came up with Jenny of Old Stones, so I'm
Did I
happy with
come
that.
up? I didn't come up with Jenny of Old Stones, did I? I mean, George R. R. Martin came up with Jenny of Old Stones. Okay, so I've actually got a few notes here, but they're kind of right, episode 6 out of 8, season 2, the small folk. No, small folk, just small folk. So this was another build-up episode. So I think next episode we might see a battle. But there was one thing I was paying very close attention to in this episode. They were talking about distances. So I wrote down some notes and I've got a map.
I didn't
So
get that.
they mentioned two distances. They mentioned that it was a fortnight. So when Aemond is talking to Criston Cole, he says it will take a fortnight to march from King's Landing to Harrenhal. Okay, now that's longer than I thought. I previously thought that it would take a fortnight to march all the way up to Winterfell. I kind of got the vibe that the King's Road at the beginning of Game of Thrones was in
Oh, but
fact.
it took
I thought it
months
was
to
like a
get
month.
north to south.
I thought it was at least a month
It would have
or
been at least a
around
month.
that area.
Yeah. So 2 weeks to Harrenhal, King's Landing to Harrenhal, 14 days, a fortnight. However, in Daemon's vision, where he's talking to Alys Rivers, she says to him, "Wait 3 days, something will happen." Now, Harren, because Grover Tully is at River Run, unless I'm mistaken,
Yeah, he's
but
riverrun.
Grover Tully, I
Should
believe,
be.
he might even have been stated that he was at River Run. The distance from Harrenhal to River Run, right, is approximately, just lining it up now, it's like River Run. The distance between River Run and Harrenhal is approximately the same as Harrenhal and King's Landing. Harrenhal and King's Landing is like a little bit more, and if you just go by main roads, then Harrenhal to River Run is probably a little bit further still, presuming that with Harrenhal you go directly onto, is it like the King's Road, I think it's called, that goes down to King's Landing. But you could then go north to Derry and then west at the crossroads and down the River Road to River Run. How did she make that trip in 3 days when Criston Cole's army would take 2 weeks to get to Harrenhal? Now, I understand, of course, that an army is going to be slower, right? But they're also like military and regimented and stuff, but they'll take they pro how many hours? It probably takes a couple of hours to set up camp each day for the army and all that kind of stuff. But 2 hours to 3 days seems like one hell of a, and like Alys Rivers, she's fast. I mean, yes, an individual, particularly someone who knows the Riverlands, will probably be able to, I would say, almost take a direct route, maybe, especially since she's a bastard. She's not going to be traveling in luxury. She'll probably be traveling alone, effectively. But unless she like morphs into that owl, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I see a consistent in
question for Max.
I see an
Was that
inconsistency
for
here
Max?
that seems deliberate, right? Because they would it's the same episode, so it's a side-by-side comparison. They're both taught like it's like three days. I'm assuming it's 3 days to get there. Maybe when Daemon heard, it might have been another day or two for a raven to come or something like that. But yeah, it seems like a massive discrepancy, but it's landed on us in this one episode. Does it, either this is a straight up inconsistency, or it attests to Alys Rivers's magical properties.
What if she traveled by the river though? What if it wouldn't that make be significantly faster than traveling by road?
So she'll go to Derry and down the actual river to River Run. Yeah.
I mean, my question for Max is, we were kind of discussing this about the last one or the one before. We were discussing like Is this particular era of Game of Thrones particularly magical? Could it be a magical solution? Could it be that she's doing witchy stuff? Or, you know, she joked that she can, you know, travel in the eyes of a barn owl, and she literally had a barn owl. Now, UltraFX pointed out that no one except Daemon has ever actually interacted with Alice or like had words with her since she's been on screen. So, is it possible that she was at River Run all along and she's just been sending hallucinations to Daemon this whole time?
I
Rather than
mean,
it
maybe.
being that she's traveled that way, maybe it's the other way around where like she's been sending her. Like, because, was it Black Candles where you can enter people's dreams? So every time has Daemon been talking to her, it's actually been like sending him dream visions of her. I put in my notes, it seems so bizarre how well he trusts her for no reason.
Yeah, it's that I would say that's not impossible. I think we got the first mention of her outside of Damon, though, this episode. Lionel Strong
Said
mentioned her by
she's
name.
helping out in she yeah she helped out Lord Tully, which suggests that she's been at Riverrun this whole time, or you know he's aware of her, but like he I don't know, it's very surreal.
One thing we do
I
probably
do.
know, or at least can surmise, is that using the old god stuff, it's not a stretch to imagine that she can communicate through weirwood trees, right? Because if Daemon's sleeping on a weirwood bed, of which he specifically referenced in this episode, then there's a direct line of communication right there. Weirwood bed, all she's got to do is find the nearest weirwood tree, which in Riverrun probably isn't that far. We didn't see any weirwood tree in Riverrun itself, in Game of Thrones when we saw Riverrun. But I'm looking at the map here, and there's a place called the Whispering Wood right north of Riverrun. So if there's a Whispering Wood, I don't know, that kind of sounds like somewhere a weirwood tree would be, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember in the
Yeah.
books. I think Catelyn says that her Godswood doesn't have a heart tree, which is why she's so intimidated by, and she feels so out of place in the Godswood in up north. So I think
Winterfell.
there probably are heart trees, but not directly in Riverrun. But again, there's something magic-y poo going on. And I'm interested about it, like, and the fact that like is she on Daemon's side? Is she not on Daemon's side? I don't know why she would be on Daemon's side. There's no reason for her to be on Daemon's side, but she seems to be providing him with three therapy. Like, I'm half expecting her to have a better help segment at some point, because like she really is just throwing out like, you know, his main flaw is that he always runs away, so maybe I should just trap him in a room with his brother until he gets some catharsis, has to
Well,
listen to his issues.
I
Go on,
have
Max.
some overall thoughts on the whole Damon
Come
storyline
on, Max.
so far.
Come on, Ib.
It's been disappointing me, honestly. I feel like they're just using it as an excuse to bring back the actors they like from the first season,
I
in the
enjoyed
dream
that.
sequences, which is nice. It's good to see them, and I enjoy it for what it is, but I feel like they really sidelined Damon this season and gave a lot of his stuff or stuff that he could be doing to other characters, which I think is improving those other characters, so it might be worth it in the end. But it's it they're definitely they've definitely changed
Part of
things in that
me
way.
kind of wonders whether or not like there seems to be a lot of like juicy psychological stuff for Matt Smith to kind of sink his teeth into, but not that much physical stuff. And part of me wonders whether or not, I know he was injured while filming season one. He like slipped a couple of discs in his neck. Maybe they were trying to give him less physical stuff, so maybe I am vaguely spoiled that at some point there might be something cool and physical coming up where he gets all badass and nifty and shit. And maybe they're trying to like save the actor from physical harm until they can do those scenes, or maybe they're trying to like, I don't know. Part of me wonders whether or not it's a kind of production behind the scenes choice more than it is a character choice.
That
No.
It's interesting. I didn't know that about his injury.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
so
mean, I would like to. I love Matt Smith, and I think he's great as Damon. So I want to see him do more stuff that
more
isn't
shit.
just, dream sequences.
As far as I know, his injuries haven't relapsed, but I wouldn't put it past production having had a scare like that. Being a bit cautious about giving him too much physicality.
Yeah, but they've got stunt doubles and CGI and all that kind of stuff. If they really wanted to do, they could do a whole dragon battle with Damon and not even use Damon. I'm certain, the thing I think, as I understand it, and Max could probably verify this, is that at this particular stretch of the Dance of the Dragons, there isn't a lot for Damon to do. However, Matt Smith as Damon is, of course, very popular, very compelling, very interesting. So I think, as I understand it, a lot of what happens at Harrenhal is new content that was written up. And I think
Yeah.
on it wouldn't have
During this
taken.
time, Damon's sort of like off the board. You don't really like see what he's doing. So so they're sort of like giving him stuff to do, but at the same time, that I can also see stuff that they're cutting for the future that Damon would have gone into these things, but now he's not going to. So
Yeah, it's well
Nettles,
written
I think
filler,
they're
but it is
yeah.
feeling like filler.
Yeah. Because like Damon and a character called Nettles become very important together after this point in the book. She is a dragon seed that takes that claims sheep stealer. And I'm like basically 100% sure at this point they're cutting her in that storyline and sort of replacing her role with Reyna.
Yeah.
And that really
Yeah,
is
that's
gonna,
what
it completely changes the dynamic between her and Damon, and it's not gonna be able to work the same way.
Yeah,
So
I've heard
that's a
that.
little disappointing.
I mean, I'm not familiar with Nettles as a character outside of a few bits of trivia. So I don't, yeah. So I'm yeah, reserving judgment on that front. But I think they could have made the Damon scenes more interesting if they got, like, there were good moments. That scene with Paddy Considine coming back, and the fact that it's the same scene but done in an eerie way. That scene there was kind of horrifying, but in a really good way. But however, the amount of actual airtime to these visions, when really what I think would have gone down a lot better, right? So one scene I really liked from the last episode was Jace going to the twins and doing that negotiation, right? It gives you a little bit of a view into other parts of Westeros. It gives you some good dialogue with some new characters. It establishes some existing characters, and yeah, like it's good world building. Damon could have done a whole bunch of that with the Riverlords, and it wouldn't have, been an expensive thing to do. Probably, it would have been just shooting any other dialogue scenes, and I think that could have been a good example to see more of the Riverlands rather than more of the inside of his mind.
I mean, again, I also feel like, and it's a complaint that I voiced last week or the week before, that I feel like the visions could have used some progression in that they started off kind of subtly and kind of creepy, like things out of the corner of your eye, or he like does a double take and he sees something, he thinks he's seen someone, and then it cuts again and it's someone else. And then by the time you get to this point, you're into the full-blown hallucinations. Because if you don't have that build-up, you can't really see how it's going to end. And that's kind of frustrating when you started off with the big, crazy visions. At least this is the first time we've had an outside character be like it's the first time we've really had, what's he called? Mr. Strong. Actually be like, maybe you need some sleep, dude, but like we all know that you're like, you're totally cursed or whatever.
Simon
But
Strong,
that
that's
scene
it.
was so, yeah, so like, because Damon was acting completely nutso. Like, it's hard to say how much that, like it was just, it, like, the tone is just a little bit confused, if that makes any sense. I
Definitely.
don't
And
know.
also,
I'm hoping there's a really good resolution to this.
Yes,
But at the
this is
moment,
all
it
set
still
up.
feels like just sticky parts.
Yes, sticky parts. Yes,
Sorry.
I feel that this episode and the last episode was all set up for the most part, which is fine, but it does then leave you, it is contingent on the payoff at that point, right? So it feels like we've got, we've got the setup for the joke, and the last two episodes are usually pretty good in most series, and I'm expecting a lot, if I'm completely honest. Also, we saw classic new insult. Well, not new insult, tradition. Dotard. Dotard makes a comeback in parlance. Have we seen, did you spot that one?
I missed it.
Not consciously, but I probably,
That old
noticed
dotard. What
it.
was that? So a dotard was what King Jong-un called Trump when things got a bit tense between them. He called him Dotard Trump. It's just like, I don't know, it's like it's just like it just triggered that bit of my memory. The last time I heard that word, it's like that's an ancient insult, but I don't know. But yeah,
It's
there
an
was
oldie but a goodie.
an oldie bit of goodie. For those that don't know, I think it is something comparable to a pejorative beginning with the word "ah" that is often used by teenagers to describe someone who is unintelligent.
Yeah, well, I think it's, someone who I think it's like someone who like doting is like, kind of being gently obsessed with something. So it's kind of like a like, if you dote on something. So I think a dotard is someone who like has no focus.
The
That,
definition I'm seeing, according to Oxford Dictionary, is an old
Oxford, you
person,
say?
especially one who has become physically weak or whose mental faculties have declined. So, like Joe Biden.
So, well, it's someone with
Someone who is,
Alzheimer's or
just being old and losing their edge, to be honest. Depends how vicious you want to be, right?
dementia, some form of low-level dementia.
Good. All right. High level. We've got some facts on that here as well. All right.
Learn everything.
Okay. Anyway, I've covered my notes with the distance and Damon. What else is sort of are you taking away from the episode?
We haven't been doing credit watching. The credits have changed. Have you guys noticed the credits have changed?
I do, but
I have didn't analyze it frame by frame, but I do try to pay attention
So
every time.
there was the rat catchers were featured, like hung up.
I
There was
noticed
the
that.
little kid's death. There was Luke's death. There was the Blackwoods and the Brackens, and there was some guy with a sword with dragons. I don't know. We haven't even been on it, and I just wanted to throw up. It's cool. I
It's
forgot that they
cool.
do the cool transition things.
I like that they've done a different one this series, and I imagine and hope that they'll do something different for a third series, because the first one was based on Viserys's model, and the second was based on
Helena and Rhaenyra.
Elena's not cross stitch
Embroidery.
embroidery, that's it.
Embroidery.
And so I'm imagining there'll be some kind of art form that expresses that. However, the original Game of Thrones one, like that one was really obvious. Like I know when the embroidery is updated, but I find it, and aesthetically it's really nice, but I also find it difficult. Like you kind of have to do a frame by frame to make any
It's
sense of it,
more
right?
abstract art than it is. Like the original Game of Thrones was a tangible map. You knew where you were going. There was like literally words. Well, this is a bit more of a, like an abstract. Like you've got to have really good visual memory of certain shots to work out what certain things are. And it does
Yeah.
move very quickly. And there's quite a lot of visual noise because it's got this kind of the stitching effect plus the sort of
Yeah.
bleeding effect that they do in it. It is quite a lot of visual stuff to take in, but I wanted to shout it out briefly because I noticed that they still
It's
do it
good.
and it made my
Yeah.
brain happy.
One thing that I really liked about Game of Thrones originally is that they subtitled the location where something was set, which I don't believe they did in House of the Dragon, and they don't seem to do when they, I was going to say unlock a new place like in a video game, right? The twins unlocked. But I don't know, I feel that would be nice because, like with the twins, for example, are you expected to know from the shot? I mean, people who follow in closely the show will know, but will your casual viewers know? I don't know, I probably not. But
I agree. I like the little subtitle location.
yeah, but
I mean,
that's.
they do, because we talked about the fact that the show does a particularly good job of either doing a visual payoff followed by a line or a line followed by a visual payoff. And they did have them having the conversation where he was like, I'm going to go to the twins. And then he went to the twins.
Yes.
You
Oh,
kind
yeah,
of
they did, yeah.
have that inbuilt logic.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. What I found interesting in this episode was Aemond in his position as regent, and particularly like him leaning on Aegon. He took the attendance ball from, well, the king or the person that sits at the head of the table. He took the attendance ball and then he smushed it into Aegon's open wound. I don't know if it was an open wound, but it's fresh
Well,
wound.
definitely not pleasant. They were using like vine leaves to bind it. Yeah, well, I think Alison summed it up with the like where she touched his face and was like, what did she say? She said, has not
The
the
indignities of
cruelty of
youth,
your no,
yeah.
indignities of your childhood been avenged enough? And then he
Something like,
kind of,
yeah.
pulled a hand away and then
It's like,
stormed
nope,
off.
more
And no,
diddle.
I think he's being a petty little, like he was bullied as a kid and now his bully is lying in his own juices. You're gonna vaguely th and also he's vaguely threatening him as well. He's saying, you better not remember that I was the one that did this to you because I will
That's not, I
kill
mean,
you.
I wouldn't
Like
say vaguely. I would say that's pretty
it
direct, really.
Well, he didn't verbally announce it.
Sinister?
He's
Definitely,
not
yeah.
This whole like
definitely sinister.
animosity and like basically threatening of Aegon that Aemond does is like not in the book at all, but that it's an amazing addition. And
I love
it's
Love
adds so much
Orwell's
to that storyline.
foreshadowed.
Oh yeah, I love Orwell's navigating of this because he's like, I think I might actually save him. That's amazing. Wow. And then Aemond's like, no, he'll be like this for a while, I think, won't he? And
Yeah,
Orwell's
he
like,
better
oh,
not get better.
you better not get better. I think, oh man, I would not want to be Orwell because it's like, what a time to be like the like the
The
yeah like oh man, it's I mean, to be fair, he was the one that was keep was he was the one that was keeping Viserys alive for goodness knows how long. Like, that guy is a genius. He is a
He's
smart,
talented.
yeah,
He's a
and
good doctor.
that's it, yeah.
I
But
kind
all
of I have just watched a series where one of the main characters pretends to be weak and feeble for a long time so he doesn't get thought of as a threat, so he can do a lot of like undercurrents of like sneaky behavior and build up his power. And I'll be interested if that's kind of the direction they want to go with this sort of plot line, particularly with Laris's thing. Whether or not they're going to try and like in his damaged shell of a body, maybe he can actually learn some intelligence and some hard work, and maybe the punishment of dragons will be enough to make him a better person. I don't necessarily believe it to be true, but I'll be interested if that's the direction they decide to go for with Aegon. And like, yeah, I think Varys was really interesting this episode.
Laris, to me, Laris and Missandei are two characters. They're the Littlefinger and Varys to me in this show, and I'm absolutely they're really both getting into their stride now. Like Laris was sharing with Aegon, and he seemed like that was such a good moment, even though Aegon was basically. He was not so much part of the scene. It was all really Laris, if we're honest. Not that Aegon hasn't had a killer season so far in terms of acting. But yeah, Laris was like, I don't know, like I feel like I think there's genuine sympathy mixed in there, but also like the idea of like there is mention in the Game of Thrones video game, and I'm sure we're in the books as well, that you can get addicted to Milk of the Poppy. And because it seems to riff off
Yeah,
heroin,
well,
right?
it's opium.
Or
It's
opium,
opium. Yeah,
So
literally, it's milk of the poppy. It's
Milk of the
opium.
Poppy,
That's
yeah.
what it is.
So they so it seems like Laris doesn't want to dull he sort of like he's basically he wants Aegon to survive because obviously Aemond is not just a threat to Aegon, but he's a threat to Laris, right? Like in that scene, he called him a toad. You know, definitely a lot of insults being thrown around this episode.
I
And
mean,
he.
And he's a psychopath or sociopath.
Yeah, well,
Yeah,
he's
but.
definitely the
And Laris
what do
can
you
pick up on
get?
that.
Like, if you give a bullied and abused and neglected child a gun and then say, yes, you can be head of the entire country, off you go. Like, they're kind of realizing that everyone, like, it's really. Like very clear, particularly in the scene where he's like, "Let's bring in the pirates. That's the way to solve our problems." Everyone's like, "Oh damn, we thought we fucked up with your brother, who was, sadistic in his own way and really stupid. But like, you're mostly clever and vindictive,
Yeah,
and have a nuke. This is worse."
this is such an
He has a
interesting.
he has,
Sorry, Max.
I was just saying he's the biggest snoot,
Yeah,
Not just a
yes.
noob.
He's got complete unchecked power. It was very interesting to see his strategy laid out because he went against the advice of Criston Cole, whose knowledge and advice in at Rook's Rest was it seemed to be like really put to good use. So he seems to be quite adept in the battlefield. He was going against the advice of Jason Lannister or Tyrus Lannister or no, the Lannister at the
No,
table.
it's Tyland, I think.
Tyland, that's it. Yeah, Tyland.
Tyland is the one in King's Landing. Jason, I think,
Is it the
is
one
the
with the
one I always forget there's another set with
of
army?
twins. As a twin,
Oh yeah,
there are too
George
many
Martin
twins
loves
in
his
this show.
twins.
Yeah, I do you reckon they get paid like double for two roles? Is that
I doubt it. They just give them half the number of lines.
yeah, I
Another of
so
that one group of twins that were on that show. I don't think I watched it. Maybe it was like Prison Break or something. There's like a group of twins, and one of them, their cameo set to like $15. The other one, the cameo is set to like $300. And so
Oh
get a deal by going to the cheaper brother.
wow. Oh, that's quite the
That's
undercut as well.
hilarious.
So it's interesting that like the Triarchy is being recruited by Tywin Lannister, which I think is folding into is it the Battle in of the Gullet or something? Is the Is that direct? Is that the no? Or which is the battle we will see? We might see. Could we see two battles by the end of the season? Could we see a battle in the Gullet and a battle at the Harrenhal or the Golden Teeth? Where's the Golden Teeth?
I don't think battle at Harrenhal is going to happen this season. I think
Oh,
they're going to
okay.
hold off.
I'll be. I the pacing's so hard to predict because you have like feels like big things going on, but you have so much filler. Like I don't know. Like it could be that we have like five battles in the next two episodes, or it could be that we have like none, one.
So you reckon then, Max, that there'll be it'll be the Triarchy against Corlys's fleet that'll be the
Have they
battle that
have
we
Corlys
see.
doing
Actually,
something at
what
the
order
end
does that
of the
happen
season?
in the book? I'm not even sure. I do think we're gonna see a ship battle this season. I think that's gonna
I
happen
hope so,
for
because
the
they've
Battle of
been
Farenfall.
repairing Vaymond's ship for six
Yeah.
episodes.
Yeah. I like the Driftmark bits actually, because I don't know why. I don't know why. I just find the sort of the general vibe of the characters, Adam, Alan, and Corlys. I don't know. I find them really enjoyable to watch on screen. And I liked exploring them a little bit. And there was some stuff that was revealed a little bit, but a lot of it was basically character building. So we do know that Adam is going to be the first mate to Corlys, and he's basically like, I mean, that man needs to crack a smile, man. But also, like, he's like so nervous that people are going to find out he's a bastard. And yeah, like, I don't know, like, I'm with Alan on this one. I'm Team Alan. Like, I and we had a good How to Train Your Dragon moment where, oh, hang on a minute,
I
season.
enjoyed that
Maribor's
in
here.
contrast to the scene that did not go well. The let's see if we can find a dragon rider. Oh, that went poorly. It was nice to see the equivalent, which is the dragon being like, I found a friend. Eat him, my friend, now. He has cool hell.
Yeah,
I thought it was a little bit. I thought it was a little bit like plot conveniency that, like, oh, right after this happened, Sea Smoke went off and found his rider.
Well, they said that he was
But
lonely.
it's like they got to the place, and I think I'm
Well,
excited to see
I
where it goes.
do have a little fan theory that I want to kind of voice because I can. Helena said she had the little crickets and she said this one stopped singing. And I was trying to think of all of the people that we have seen that have actually sung during the entire course of House of the Dragon. And the ones I can think of are Daemon, when he was singing to Vermithor, Daeron, who they had a conversation about Daeron, and they said that he like plays the lute and ladies love him. The only character that I
Hang on a
remember
minute.
actually
What do you
hearing
not not
sing.
Daeron Targaryen when they was when Gwaine was talking with Alicent, right?
Yes.
Yes,
So
currently
we haven't
in
ever seen him
Altair.
on screen, but he
He's
mentioned
been
that
mentioned like so
he's
many
sung.
times, like show him already, you
Like,
know?
I think he's going to be a hilarious Ex Machina misdirection where he turns up ready to be the hero of yore, the young lad with the lute and the dragon, and then he, I don't know, plays plants into the tower or
I
something. Like,
think,
I feel
and
like it's going to be like a really hilarious, like,
I
do 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 do
do
do.
do. We got a bard. The bard enters the game.
The bard enters the scene.
I suspect this young Targaryen. What's his name again?
Daeron.
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 I got to get the family
It's
tree up here.
Ronald.
So
Oh,
Daeron,
Ronnie.
old Ronnie, Daeron. Yep, he's not pictured on the out of date season one chart. So the thing about Daeron, I think, and I don't, this isn't, I think this is a remembered thing. Does Daeron lead a commoner uprising? No, am
No.
I? No, does he not? Okay.
Why
Does he
would he? What interest does that have? Why would that be in his interests?
I don't know. Does he lead a rebellion against or something? Does he does are you squashing a spoiler?
What squat? I'm not squatching anything.
Okay.
I just don't understand your logic. Can you, I just want you to.
Does he? I think I. It's not like I think I'm remembering something. That's so. It's probably my awful memory.
Okay, so before I
Maybe
lose
I'm
my point,
forgetting
though,
something too.
oh yeah, sorry, Jenny.
So it could be.
regarding Helena's cricket stopping singing, we've heard Damon's who sung in last season, and he's been kind of out of it, having hallucinations. So maybe he was the cricket who stopped singing. We've had Daeron, who plays the lute and used to write to his mother and stopped writing to his mother. But the other character that we've actually seen singing on screen was Lainor. When he came in drunk and was like singing sea shanties with his boyfriend, and then Rhaenyra was like, "Shush, be a better husband." And Helena said, "This one stop singing." And then that same episode, Seasmoke chose a new rider. And that's kind of my little tiny fan theory. I don't know whether or not that's true, but I just found it interesting that of the three characters that I can think of that have actually sung on screen during the show, all three of the potential ones that we have heard of or seen have been absent, or maybe, in other words, like in some ways or another, limited and missing. Could be completely unrelated. I don't know. Helena's vague, but like, I just, my brain like clicked at the one thing that the one person that I remember singing, other than Damon, was
Okay.
Lainor, and Lainor definitely sung sea shanties, and then his dragon chose a new rider this episode. So maybe this one stops singing is the sign that Lainor's finally kicked the bucket. I don't
Well,
know. Don't
that's
know if it's
interesting.
true, just fan theory, crazy, throwing things at the wall.
Yeah, I mean there are a couple of threes that could also link into that, I think. Not that there's much to say, but like there are three that we know of, Valyrian male heirs, one of which is Laenor, and then Alyn and Adam being the other two. But we've also got Laena, so that would be four children if you go gender neutral. So I don't know if again, does that mean that Laenor's stopped singing? I don't know. But the thing is, like that, yeah, like you say, they like Daemon's singing to a dragon. They're singing to a dragon also in that episode. So when she's saying stop singing, does singing mean basically being linked to your dragon? Because you have to sing to a dragon. You sing to a dragon to like bond with it, right? It seems. So if Laenor's stopped singing, it might not necessarily mean he died. It could mean he's just lost his bond with the dragon. Maybe a song is a
I'm still really curious about how Rhaenyra is going to react to seeing sea smoke being ridden, and whether or not it is going to answer the question, or whether or not it is like a psychic connection with the rider, whether or not the dragon just was like, I'm gonna abandon, fuck it, I'm just gonna find someone new. Because like she properly like legged it out of there when she found out that Seasmoke had a new rider. Like they had the whole "should I summon your council" thing, and instead she was like, "No, I'm out," which I enjoyed because it's been so many episodes of her being frustrated with not being able to act, and then at the point where this has happened, she's like, "I'm out, Seas. Like, I'm not gonna summon a group of old men to tell me what to do anymore. I'm just gonna get on my dragon and go and see who this new rider is." So I'll be really interested to see how she reacts to all of that.
I mean there is obviously like a logical sort of like obviously Laena would be half brothers with Alan, so
Yeah, so
it would.
imagine when she meets him, there's a part of her that's like, oh, if only I'd met one of the bastards, I could have had a better affair, and then my kids would have looked like my husband.
But it's yeah, but so Alan might Seasmoke might have like picked up Alan's scent or likeness to his half brother, and as such might take an affinity to it. I don't know. I think this is, and I'm going to say this for like third episode in a row now, deliberate ambiguity. And I think there's a lot of this around the dragons because I'm still maintaining my theory that really dragons that have no magic. It's just that they sort of train them in High Valyrian so that common folk can't get a hold of them. However, this might be the bit where that kind of proves the theory in the way, because if you can get, for want of a better term, English speaking people on the dragons, then that's going to be kind of interesting. I when they put the was it the Malister guy, the Kingsguard fella on the dragon.
I don't remember his name.
Is it Malister? But anyway,
I
when
just wrote, well, that didn't go well in my
he
notes. That's literally the entire line for that whole scene.
Stephen Darklyn. He like the to me it was kind of obvious he was going to burn up because they were using the he was saying obey in High Valyrian, right? And it's like, hang on a minute, hang on a minute. You do is that not you do you do that with a dragon? Like I don't I thought like you it was
You
more
don't
of
know
a
him like that.
yeah like surely it's just like you should be a bit more friendly. You should be like, do you want to go for a ride or something? Not obey. It's yeah.
Did you want to ask me out for a drink first before you jump him off
Exactly.
back?
It's like because like it's like Daenerys said in like season 2 or 3 of Game of Thrones. It's like a dragon is not a slave. So it's that kind of philosophy. But yes. Well, I'm glad we got our first dragon seed off the ground. And we're looking like
And there's more coming.
and there's more coming. So it looks like Nettles has been replaced by
Reyna.
Rhaena.
Like, they've really done a good job of kicking the cat when it comes to Reyna. They've really, like, they've knocked her down and they've knocked her down and they've knocked her down again. And we're really hoping that she gets to claim She Beater. And wouldn't it be like a proper like final slap in the face for her if she finally like gets a face to face with She Beater and then Nettles turns up? Like that would be just like a proper like, oh Reyna, you bay. No. Like I don't see the showrunners is doing that because that would just be like actively cruel, but it would be really funny.
I know that a lot of book fans are really a real disagreement with the decision to seemingly cut Nettles, and she did seem like an interesting character and an interesting point of view perspective, but it could be that Alan takes on some of the commoner point of view characters that ride dragons, and Rhaena kind of gets like she kind of gets something for being loyal and being useful and being helpful and putting up with Jayne Arryn, who seems difficult, to be honest. She's basically got a raise.
I'm enjoying Jayne Arryn. Jayne Arryn is a sass bitch, and I like her.
I like her, but I like Rhaena too. Like I,
Like,
you
I'm
know.
sending off like the Valeri the last true Valyrian heir with six good men. Just like six men? The last Valyrian heir you're sending across the sea to like six men.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like it's so petty and funny.
That's
I'm really enjoying her. She's so sassy.
so the tune will change when Rhaena bonds with Sheepstealer. Unless, of course, one of the is it like Joffrey, who I gotta be honest, I kind of thought that it was kind of adorable that he's like wearing grown up clothes, but he's like 10, which is I don't know, I find that very amusing. Like you ever see a young kid in a suit, and it's kind of
Yeah,
weird
like
because they
weddings.
yeah like at a wedding or something, and it's like you just look like a miniature grown up, and it's like that's weird, you know. I kind of.
Well, this is called the small folk.
Small folk, the little, yeah. So of course we witnessed the new stretch of the propaganda campaign this time around, which
Yeah, this is my
I
favorite part of the episode.
yeah definitely, and I'm kind of liking Ulf as the sort of the disenfranchised what he was described as in his blurb as something like, oh, a raconteur.
I'm enjoying the number of small folk POV in this
Yeah.
series. Well, it kind of you need it in order to tell this story. But like in the original Game of Thrones, like you had like Hot Pie and like Gendry, like and like some of the like Night's Watch. But generally speaking, it was still like top tier. It's nice to get like the whores and the rat catchers and all that jazz.
Yeah, and also you had Roz in season one, and maybe if you know in a few cameos in later seasons. But even like the thing is with all of the small folk you saw in Game of Thrones, they were usually lifted up in a way that sort of made them different from other small folk anyway. Like it felt like it wasn't like with maybe the exception of Hot Pie, most of them, and even Hot Pie, like I like the theme of Hot Pie. I like the theme that his survival tactic was being a good cook, and that was the thing that sort of kept him alive, and he survived to the end. So you know,
He
big
survived longer than Ed Sheeran.
yeah, he did better than Ed Sheeran. Yeah, it's better to be a good cook than a shit singer. But I really enjoyed, we touched on it earlier, the this I really okay, so Gawain Hightower is really growing on me as a character. When he
Really
first saw,
like him.
yeah, in the first scene I thought, oh, this is going to be like a dorky comic relief. He's going to be the posh boy that gets you know, it's going to be the butt of all the jokes,
Stomped on by a dragon.
yeah, that kind of thing. And it's like he has a, like quite rapid character development, it seems, where he starts off being a relatively like highborn gent, as it were, and then he like sees the horrors of war, and I like the fact that he looks like it's affected him. And his, you know, when he's talking to Alicent originally in the first scene, he's all like la-di-da, and now in the scene with the last episode, he was like, I don't know, like he understands how broken everything is, and I don't know, like yeah.
He's weirdly sincere. He's like and like he's sincere and he kind of he's one of the few highborn outsiders to the royal intrigue. Because obviously he was in the court at some point because he came and he did jousting and all that jazz. But he's been living in Old Town this whole time. So I'm enjoying like a genuine like non-court intrigue noble perspective. And honestly, like, he's a great actor. Because like I think I said it that like I looked up his he's from a pedigree. He's one of the foxes. So he's got a pedigree. And that kind of comes with a sort of he comes with a gravitas, which I'm enjoying. And like, can you imagine how much healthier Alicent would be mentally, and how much better her kids would be if they had more of that presence in their life? Like I think because he grew up away from Otto as well. I think that's a big thing. Where he kind of has like a sort of pragmatic view on his dad, where he's like, yes, dad's a genie, like a political genius. Like dad's great, but he is also a bit of a shit.
That's
Like
why
I
I'm
just
so
I
interested in seeing how Darren turns out.
yeah, I'll be interested to see how Daeron turns out, and I'll be interested to see what the fuck Otto is up to, because no one can get hold of Otto. Like,
Where
is he
is
just,
Otto?
wearing, is
Yeah,
he
where in
wearing
the
his like
world is Otto
carpet slippers
Hightower?
and smoking? Or is he like
He's not hard
doing
to
cool
miss.
shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the fact that Gawain actually is like genuinely like comforting Alicent. Like he's genuinely like you tried your best. That's the kindest thing anyone has said to her in like 25 years. Like that's better than the absolution and like whatever she gets out of her relationship with Kristen. Like it's actually like
Oh, I just had a
yeah.
theory. Oh no.
It's a theory.
Okay, so obviously, like Gawain was talking to Alicent, and he kind of realized that what she really was, the real question she was asking is my third son a, like the other two? And he was like, no, he's kind. He's nice. Chicks like him, you know, like it's good. It's good, you know? And I think this might lend some possibility into Alicent killing, maybe. Well, no, she doesn't kill. She wouldn't. I know that she doesn't kill Aemond, but she might. I don't know. Like, she might kill someone. She might want to put him on the throne. It might be the one thing that
I
she tries to do.
mean, think the thing is, like, think she was hoping to connect with her children, and the only one of her children who is kind is Helena, and Helena has difficulty with connecting. And so, like, I think Alison is, like, sad that the one child that she would have had a chance with is the one that she hasn't spent any time with. But yeah, I'll be interested to see how that plot line goes. It was nice to see a nice relationship.
And of course we've got the scene where they are leave the sept, and this is as the food is coming into King's Landing, and it causes quite the ruckus. And also, side note, disappointed to see Hugh the Hammer just like grab someone else's like food. I know times are dire, but he's like, just give me
Which shows you
the
how dire the times are. That's
I don't
yeah.
know.
I
I
mean,
felt
like they've set him up. thing.
He's got a sick daughter and a wife who's pissed. Like, you
You
know,
don't know what
desperate
the other
times.
guy's got. He might have two sick daughters.
Yeah, well, screw that guy. I need my son. You know, that's where they're at. That's where the small folk are at this
Like
point.
this is such
It's
it's a
do or
wonderful
die.
double-edged sword that like Rhaenyra is getting the small folk on her side, but how many small folk are gonna die in food riots? Like how many of them are gonna like kill each other because of what she's done here? Like it's
Well,
not
no. Whoa, whoa,
it's far from
whoa.
out it's not that altruistic, let's be honest. It's political.
Okay. All right. Let's get one thing straight here. The reason there's poverty in King's Landing is because of the blockade.
Yeah, exactly. So like she's not like it's 100% like Rhaenyra's whole plan is 100% political. Like
So it is a scene.
she's got a
It is a
blockade.
scene. Which was considered somewhat unethical in the last season of Game of Thrones, to starve the people out. So that's interesting,
Basically, the
actually.
people are being forced to like in all fairness, they could leave if the
No, they
Hightowers
can't.
would let
They
if Dean
oh,
Green
if
Exactly. If
being
Dean
locked
Green
in
would
the
let
city.
them leave, they would leave and they would potentially go off and farm or, you know, do other things, but they're not being allowed to leave. So yes, there is a siege, but yes, they're also trapped. So it's war, it's unpleasant. But yeah, I did enjoy so Alicent fell over and cut the her inner left forearm in the same way, so by proxy Rhaenyra cut Alicent's inner left forearm, not too dissimilar to how Alicent cut Rhaenyra's inner left forearm. It's an injury in the same place, and by proxy, Rhaenyra was responsible for said injury. I just like that. Also,
There
if the
was.
small folk can kill a Khingdar, they can probably kill a dragon. Just putting that out
Oh,
there.
I was thinking. I was thinking. Oh, they could. Didn't they get three of them? Didn't they get the three lickspittles?
It's hard to tell.
Do they
I'd
get
be
three
interested to
Khingdar?
know.
There were four with
There was
them.
one that was on the floor that was like being like properly kicked, but like we don't know how many of them then got on horses and escaped.
I think it was just the one, and I think it was the older guy, Redwine or whatever his name is. I think the th I think there were three that held back. I could be wrong. I'm not, and they were the three, guards that Aegon put in. So it's like the three inexperienced,
Oh,
like,
those
but the
guys.
yeah, I the yeah the three stooges. I was thinking it's like they're gonna have the best armor in the realm, right? It's gonna be the most refined steel. It's like. Are they going to be there stamping on him for like 40 minutes before anything happens?
I
Is
mean,
he just going to be there under like the constant patter of the small folk just banging away at his suit of armor? God, I've got a fucking headache, but at least I'm not dead. No, they've got him.
I think they don't got him.
They don't got him. That's yeah. I mean, that would be quite. You got to watch out for the small folk now that's walking around wearing the Kingsguard armor. It's like, where do you get that armor? Yeah, it's
I
all.
don't know. I found it on the back of a bus.
Oh, Kitty
But
O'Clock.
yeah, Kitty O'Clock. It did remind me of obviously the similar writing in Game of Thrones, where Sansa gets attacked. Obviously, it's meant to have Call for Water callbacks. So I enjoyed that little, when the small folk are starving, things go tits up for the locals. I did in like I find it interesting if we go briefly back to Aemond, where like he was smart enough in the last episode to be like cut down the fucking rat catchers. So he clearly has some understanding of like it seems in hindsight that was more like a that was my brother's stupid idea, because then when they're like the small folk are restless, he's like, so what? Like he doesn't seem to like. I think he
That's not a
understands that his
concern of
brother
his.
makes stupid I like her, his brother made stupid decisions. Doesn't necessarily have the political understanding to understand why they were stupid. He just wants to undo what his brother's done. That's kind of how I'm translating that, because like we kept on thinking, oh, maybe he's really smart. Maybe he's really intelligent. Maybe he's got like a really good political understanding. And then he's like, Triarchy and what? Who gives a fluff about the population of King's Landing? Like, they can't do nothing to us. I've got a nuke.
I'm in two minds about this, and I can't come down on one side or the other, right? Because yes, as you point out, like half of him is like smart and half of him seems reckless, right? So for example, another smart thing he did was summon Otto Hightower back as Hand. That would be a smart thing to do because for all intents and purposes, Otto Hightower has held that role as Hand of the King for a long time. He knows what the job entails. He's probably the most qualified person for the job, and he would be loyal despite being not treated particularly well. So that is a smart thing to do. Now, recruiting the Triarchy to try and break the blockade is an interesting thing to do because presumably they are the blockade itself is in very close proximity. So the blockade is across, is it across Blackwater Bay, right? Which is where Dragonstone and Driftmark are. So the blockade is going to be relatively strong and easy to maintain. And there are dragons not that far away if it were to be attacked, even by dragons, right? Because you could get, if Aegon or even Aemond were to attack with dragons, I mean, Sunfire wouldn't stand a chance. And especially you wouldn't want that with Aegon on it. So you don't, you probably like, you, whereas you could fight with a dragon in other areas where you kind of know what you're up against. You're hitting them on their home turf with a whole bunch of dragons. Recruiting the Triarchy doesn't seem. I don't know. It seems like it could work. It's desperate and reckless, but it could work. But he also does go against the advice of Criston Cole, in when he says he to ride to Harrenhal and attack to attack Harrenhal with haste. He uses those words, which I don't know. Doesn't that sort of lean to the idea that with haste in the next two episodes, presumably with haste must mean in the next two episodes, right? With haste doesn't mean in 2 years'
Wait
time,
and
right?
see.
We'll
Wait and
see.
see. I don't
I'm not
know.
sure. The timeline's changing a lot. The events, the order of things. So I don't know.
But yeah, I yeah, it's impossible to say. But I don't know. Like, yeah, because also as well with Aemond, he seems to be like he seems to know what he's doing, right? When we saw Aegon acting, in a stupid fashion, in a clueless fashion, we really were signaled it. We really knew about it. He was umming, he was ahhing, he was speaking poor Valyrian. He was being corrected by Otto. You know, all these situations, it was very obvious that Aegon was making dumb decisions. But Aemond, he knows what he's doing. He is a person of strategy. He might be being reckless, but I don't think he's being stupid. But he is also going against the advice of experts. Yeah, which might mean he is throwing everyone under the bus. It might mean that this, you know, Criston Cole might not fare too well here. It might mean that the Triarchy end up causing more troubles than they solve. But, you know, he seems to have a plan. So what that plan involves,
Who knows?
I
still like that. He's still like, and my uncle's really cool, and he wants to kill me, so I want to go kill him because uncle
can't kill me. If I kill him first.
Let's see. I've got a couple of little notes. So Lannisters are being sassy because Lannisters also they have. Lions, in the same way that Cersei was obsessed with having elephants. It was just one of those things where, like, of course they brought lions. That's an interesting power play. Is that your equivalent of bringing a gun to a nuke fight?
Are we gonna see Lannister lions actually in battle? That would be kind of.
I really hope so, because they put Chekhov's lion in there. They've Schrodinger'd cat us. Like we need to let the cat out the box.
Yes, this is, so we've got Chekhov's scorpion, we've got Chekhov's dragon, we've got Chekhov's there's a lot of foreshadowing. There's so much setup in these couple of episodes that I'm really hoping for a good payoff. Like, the thing is, the last two episodes, yeah, I get them, they're like, a lot of people are slow, you know, they're slow burn. Some people feel there's filler in them. Yeah, there's a bit of filler in the Daemon scenes and all that kind of stuff, but to me, all of that is like, it's contingent on the second half, right? Like, it's almost like it's like two sets of two-part episodes. The first two episodes, you know, these are like, or episodes four and five, no, three and four. Hang on a minute. Five and six. Episodes five and six, these are like the setup episodes, and then I'm hoping seven and eight are going to be they're going to be the cash-in episodes with a little bit of setup for season three.
Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying... It's kind of like they've opened the jigsaw box and tipped it out on the floor. And so you can see all the parts, you just can't see the picture yet. Mm. And I'm waiting for the picture to form. It's kind of like that. There's so many threads. I'm just like, give me the conclusion. I want to fucking meat!
We want meat!
another little one that I just, again, it's like a one sentence thing, but I just Vaymond agreeing to be Hand of the King, because, you know, occasionally he likes having a woman tell him what to do, and I kind of like that he's like, he doesn't have a woman telling him what to do anymore, so he's decided to let Rhaenyra be his boss, and I appreciate that. Good job, Vaymond. I just enjoy that.
Going back to the Lannister scene, did you notice that it was the episode in that beginning scene opened with the Reigns of Castamere?
I did,
yes. Which
I love,
of course,
Lannisters for their themes. Bit
of trivia. Of course, Reigns of Castamere would not have been written at this point in the timeline because it refers to.
It happened yet.
Tywin Lannister, who was it the Reigns who they had the mine underneath their castle, and then Tywin basically flooded the mine and drowned them in a siege, or was that the other one, the two houses? Anyway, he removed Reigns of Castamere. I think that's good. Like, I love the use of music and the use of anthems in Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, like the even and Corlys as well. He has the Driftmark Valyrian tune, which sounds a little bit to me. I don't think there is any link to it, or if it's a link, it's only a very vague one to Princess Shireen Baratheon's theme in Game of Thrones. Like, there seems to be a few like notes that sound similar together, but I think that's either coincidence or, you know, it doesn't mean anything. But yeah,
Oh,
love the
interesting.
You got any more notes, Jen?
Yep. Why can't Rhaenyra just ask for some sword training? Because clearly
Oh
she's getting some
yeah.
self-esteem issues with like not being able to like fight and stuff. Why can't she just get a master of arms to actually train her on how to use a sword? Like, even if it's not for like the same way that Queen Elizabeth the First put on armor and was like, I'm just a weak woman, but I have the soul of a man. Like, you know. It can be a propaganda thing for her to pick up a sword and look cool. And equally, just from a basic self-defense standpoint, like someone training her how, like, stick it with the pointy end is no bad thing. Like, she's literally been attacked in her bed. Like, giving her basic sword training would not really go amiss.
I
Why
would
can't she
say
just
give
ask
a
someone to train her?
Yeah, like I give her the full works. I mean, she's surrounded by
Yes.
really good swordsmen. Like, there's no reason that any of them couldn't take time to practice and teach her. Like, it's kind
Exactly.
of,
She's physically
yeah. If Arya
capable.
could take lessons, then
yeah,
why can't
Like I
the
just find
queen?
it like that's something that would do her no harm at all and might boost her self-esteem. And also, you know, if they want her to be more physically intimidating because gender, blah, 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 blah. Why don't they just let her be a little bit more physically intimidating? It doesn't mean that she needs to go out to do battle, but like, you know, there's been a couple of comments about like, I don't know the difference between a Warhammer and a halibut or whatever it is, and like, just like you're perfectly intelligent and you're physically capable. You're not like, you
Pommel
know,
and foible, that was the one.
I
I looked up the
so
word, I looked up
on.
foible. And like, and it's the, yeah, it
Ooh.
is the pointy end. It's the fancy name for the pointy end, or the pointy section at the end. It's the bit that you're supposed to hit them with. So it is basically, which, but she's basically
Like
saying
the
which one's the
tip.
pointy end. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Larys's whole conversation with Aegon reminded me of the crippled vases and broken thing speech that
Yes.
Tyrion gave, particularly the mind is that your mind is a sword and it needs to be you have a whetstone, and my books are my whetstone. So like it kind of it's interesting that they're drawing that parallel between Larys and Tyrion, because Tyrion was generally seen as a more sympathetic character. Well, so far Larys has been a bit of a slimy bastard. So the fact that they're trying to weave in some more complications to his character is needed after the kind of defeat part of it all.
Yeah,
But it
the thing is,
definitely,
I think if
yeah.
Larys, like, this would be a really interesting path to go down in terms of dialogue and conversation if Larys ends up genuinely befriending Aegon over the fact, over the sort of the cripples, bastards, and broken things kind of theme of Game of Thrones House of the Dragon. And I would love to see that sort of, because it does seem that Larys in that moment had a genuine like sharing moment with Aegon. It's like, oh, great. Someone who is in a position of power but is also constantly undermined for their disability. Like, he has a you know, an empathizer, as it were. And I think that could, and that might actually give Larys like an actual legitimate purpose of like, of actually wanting, like, what does he want with the power, right? Larys almost seems like he wants power for the sake of power. He's climbing the ladder because what else is he going to do? You know, like, he's got similar complexes to what Aemond might have, but now he's got a reason to use that power because, you know, he wants to basically
Protect
reconcile,
the
yeah,
yeah.
protect and advance the, I don't know, like, I'm 90% of the way there, but like, he feels that kind of kinship. He feels like it's more of like a, I don't know, like an enlightened type of thinking, right? It's that actually maybe the way forward, the way towards progress, is not war, but intellectual pursuits and stuff like that, or that kind of thing, or like the power question. Who is the powerful people? Is it the maesters because they have all the knowledge, or is it the armies because they have all the force and the might? Is it the dragons because whilst there are only a few of them, they can basically burn cities to the ground? And is the fear of dragons actually the true weapon rather than the dragons themselves? Yada yada yada. And this is just one of the facets of soft power that I think is what I really enjoyed about Game of Thrones. And like Larys has a reason for being there, whereas Littlefinger just wanted to advance his own personal agenda and his own personal wealth. Great. Varys was just he was just a good guy. He cared about the small folk. So both of those are very straightforward archetype kind of directions for characters to go in. But Larys, I don't know. They've added like a layer to him, or a potential layer to him, that differentiates himself from the Littlefinger Varys kind of thing. So, that
Yeah, and
I think it's a good power couple.
it's nice to see some depth to it. I did enjoy kind of like that Aegon kind of he's always seen himself as kind of vaguely untouchable. Like he's always been like, the crown prince and aloof, but like part of his bullying of Aemond was because there was a certain level of jealousy, but he also felt like, who's the firstborn son, he kind of lout about, he's a lad, and now he is the most vulnerable he's ever been. Like obviously he probably felt vulnerable when Aegar first was claimed, but he was still crown prince, he was still physically capable, he was still like, he may not have been loved by his dad, but he was still kind of, he was up there with his bros and his brother was the weird nerd. And I think this is the first time he's been genuinely scared. And I think that's interesting to have Larys then come as this sort of like, yeah, you should be scared, but maybe we can protect each other. Like, I think for someone experiencing fear for the first time in their entire life and a bucket load of pain, I imagine.
I've got a theory.
Like,
I think I know.
oh,
Okay.
ours is
Now,
the theory.
yeah, this is a theory. I think Max may disagree with me on this one, but I think this might be it, right? So I reckon there is going to be a battle of Harrenhal or something in that area, right? The two sides will clash by the end of the season, either Gold's Teeth or I'm assuming Harrenhal, but it could be somewhere near that. And because the thing is, right, they're all setting up for it, right? So you've got the Greybeards that are coming down through the Twins, and also I think maybe that they might be bringing with them army an army from the Twins. And then you've got then Daemon might salvage some Rivermen, and he might go up, and of course with his dragon, and then Larys might convince Aemond to be like, yeah, go on your dragon, go on your dragon, because what he's really trying to do is get him killed, so he's putting him in dangerous situations. And I don't know if I'm going to drift into some spoiler territory here for you, Jenny, but is it okay if I indulge?
Again, I've got some vague spoilers, so feel free to spoil. Because again, as Max keeps pointing out, there are tweaks, there are changes, there's going to be alterations. So I'm not too worried. Most of the key like essentials I haven't spoiled. I don't mind some because it could all change.
I think it could be the case that Aemond and Daemon fight above the God's Eye and kill each other. That might be it. Now, am I bringing forward that battle like really like a lot there, Max? Or is that possible?
It does happen much later, but they could change it, but I still think it's going to be a little while longer.
I think they're going to try and get more like delicious drama out of Daemon and Aemond. I think those characters are too spicy to just throw in the pot.
Yeah, and I think I'm aware that Aemond has a relationship with Alice Rivers, so that would be glossing over that.
Yes.
So yeah, I think maybe that might not be it. But I suspect Laris will try and get Aemond killed. And it
Oh,
might be,
yeah.
and it might be like encouraging him to go on his dragon and put himself in dangerous positions. So
I mean, one of the key themes of this season is the kind of the frustration of war. The wanting to contribute, wanting to main like get valor, but having to be tactical, and that frustration of having to hold back. And that's been, I think all the characters have experienced that in some capacity, apart from Rhaenys. Rhaenys is the only one who's like, yeah, I'm busy enough, dudes. Like, I'm already doing the work. Let me gorge. And then she dies. I think the frustration, you have Daemon chopping wood, and Rhaenyra being like, I've got to stay here to look after myself, and Jace being like, why can't I go do battles? I'm cool and shit. And Aemond and Aegon both being like, oh, I want to go out and like attack things. With all that build up, there's going to be something at the end of the season for definite. I just don't know whom it's going to involve.
I honestly I can't I, yeah I'm kind of really hyped for it. I know this was a slow burn episode, but like there was a lot in this that I really liked, despite the padding and the Daemon stuff, which I is fine. Like, it's not bad. It's just like
Yeah, I don't
this
hate
dragon
it.
that's it
It's
is.
just I'm really hoping that the punchline is enough to justify
Yeah.
some of
Well, it's
the
just it's
bigger
got a lot of
aspects.
airtime for not much sub. Like, we kind of they could have got all of Daemon's stuff in the last three episodes, and they could have condensed it into one, really. They get, you know,
Into
but I
one,
think
yeah.
it is fine. And to be honest, if that's one of the worst things I could say about this series so far, I'm on pretty great terms, you know. So I'm pretty thrilled, all things considered. And it can't
So
beat
I
the
have
acting, you know.
one last paragraph, which is Missaria and Rhaemyra. That's progressed.
I don't know what to make of
Yeah,
that.
that
How do we
escalated
feel about that?
quickly. That's a big change. Maybe not that big a change from the books, because that may like she was hooking in with Daemon the entire time in the books, and it was like sort of an open thing that Rhaenyra was allowing Missandei and Daemon to hook up with each other. So they're sort of like reversing that for the show, and I think it makes Rhaenyra a lot more interesting, but like I said, it sort of, takes something away from Daemon.
It's interesting from there is the argument to be made that it's a bit male gazey and a bit like you've got a non-gender conforming female character, so therefore she must be gay. That's one of the more negative cliches you could throw at it. Equally, you could have the argument of older women finding their sexuality late in life because they've abided by gender norms, and then they find suddenly find that there's something different that they actually prefer. I'm not trying to do bisexual erasure here. I'm assuming that this is a new discovery for Rhaenyra, that she has that
It's
thought. But
maybe.
the way that it was presented wasn't necessarily sexual. It felt very comfort, like it was connection and comfort more than it was. I don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah, I well, there was definitely there was like lesbian undertones through a lot of season one between Alice and Rhaenyra, and it's like, but it's so it's very like, I don't know, it depends what they
Rhaenyra
do with
very
it,
clearly liked men as
and she's
well.
very
She very
tolerant
clear
of people who
Alicent.
like goose and people who like duck, right? Like, you
Yeah,
know,
I was gonna say,
to.
does she like gammon all this time, where she's been
Oh
talking about
God,
goose and duck, but actually
they have goose and duck in Harrenhal,
Yes, they do.
and they
They
go, oh, I prefer a goose
reiterated the goose
myself.
and duck metaphor. And like
Yeah.
we're all pretty sure that Damon is bi, let's be honest. Like he goes, I'm sure he goes around all fields.
I don't know. I don't know. He
That's definitely
did.
a theory that I've heard, that Damon's like, eh, whatever.
I don't know. I don't, yeah, honestly, I don't know, because he doesn't seem to have, like, even though he doesn't seem to
I
be
mean, his sexuality
that.
is clearly incest. That's what he goes for. It's hot
Yeah,
head people.
I don't know, actually, because he so he, you know, he does visit the road, the Street of Silk in season one, but then so does everyone, and I, it doesn't seem like sexuality is a big driver for Damon.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, if we talk about, like, incest spaghetti once more. You know, there is the scene from the last episode about him and his mother. There's obviously Aemon's sleeping with an older woman because he feels like he has a connection with Alison. We've obviously got Aegon has got similar, if not quite the same, level of issues with trying to connect to a motherly figure. There's a lot of mother thoughts in the incest family tree. That is the Targaryens.
Yeah, the thing I don't want them to do with it is to, like, use it as sex position, and I don't want
Yeah,
them
I
to
don't
have,
want
like,
it.
every
They've
scene.
done so well at not making it male gazey, generally. And this was one of those ones where I'm like, I really like it wasn't shot in a titillating manner, at least, but it was two very attractive women making out.
I mean, that's I mean, that's not the bit that I'm questioning, just to be clear. No, it's
I don't want them to tumble into bed next scene and
I
then
don't
just
know,
have sex
because
position.
in some ways I wouldn't mind if they just left it at that, and it'd be like, oh,
Yeah.
a little tease there. And if they left it at that, do you know what? I think everything else can happen behind the scenes. You know, maybe they could have some, like, secret background clues.
Yeah.
And maybe hinted it a little bit. Basically, what I'm saying is less is more, right?
Yeah, I think less would be more, 100%.
Yeah, just tease, just clues, just, like, you know, and don't, yeah, don't, like, don't use it as an indulgence, but just use it as a, I don't know, as a just a
I
little
feel like
spice.
they could do the equivalent of what they've done with Alicent and Kristen, where like what we've seen one like in the background scene, one furious makeout session and one pleasuring moment. And that all of that has been relatively discreet what it's been worth. Like it's been, close up of hands, it's been, the emotion of the moment has been character driven about like Alison's shame or Alison's guilt or Christian's guilt. Or like the tension of the moment and then the fallout from those things. And that's what it felt like with the scene. It didn't feel like sexy ladies making out. It felt like these two characters both desperately seeking connection and briefly finding a connection. Which I think I have mixed feelings with the there was some foreshadowing. Is it a new discovery for Emira, or is it something that was always there? I don't know. I'm happy to discover with her, but I am slightly concerned about Missaria generally because it could be sincere. It seems to be like presented as sincere, but she is a master manipulator. She has slept with Daemon. She does know how to get under the skin of Targaryens. And like specifically, we no never saw him ask about her scar. But we did see her say to him, I made the choice to not bear children. And in this one, she did a classic, I'm just a stripper doing med student. I'm just saving up for my graduate program, and I was abused by my dad, and yeah, it felt just a little bit like not quite cliche is not the right word, but like
Great word.
was you think it's the right word? Do you think like cliche is the right word?
Yeah,
It's
it
kind of
was a
like it's
bit,
a classic like
the
sob
transition from that immediately
story.
into making out is like,
Yeah,
that
and
was
the
a bit
fact
un
that
yeah, a bit un yeah.
specifically to Damon, she said, "I made this choice," when she's angry at him about him potentially putting her in the crosshairs. But when she's trying to manipulate, or it, again, this could, I'm really interesting because this could be a sincere relationship. It could be she's saying, "Look, we're both vulnerable women. We've both been abused. Our bodies have been used against us." And it's just the fact that she's very specifically told different people different facts. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. And again, I don't want, like, it feels like me saying that is victim blaming and being like, "Oh, well, it's too much of a cliche. It can't be real. Ooh, it's just trying to manipulate Aurora."
Oh no,
But this world is so twisty and turny.
I
I
think
hope
the
it's sincere. I would really like it to be sincere because that would be nice.
I kind
Just
of get
don't
the
trust
vibe.
Azaria.
I kind of get the
She's
vibe that
dangerous.
this is the sincere time. Like, is it as in like she didn't feel safe or comfortable with anyone else. I think this is an opening up for Masaria, right? And that's her deciding to be vulnerable because she genuinely believes in Rhaenyra. That would be my read of the situation, I think.
I would hope
And
so. I just, oh,
yeah.
she's so sneaky and clever.
But the thing I think that is cliched about it is the oh, I don't want to say this in an insensitive way, but it's like, has every woman that's rose through the ranks in Game of Thrones just like come from sex slavery? Like Melisandre, Missandei, like I,
Missandei.
yeah, it's like, can she, can you know, like could she not have been a like, I don't know, I just feel like this is a path tread before, and it's like it would have been interesting if it would have been like, oh, maybe she was a pickpocket, or maybe she, you know, but like it does seem that
I
every
mean,
woman.
she was literally a whore. The thing that also gets me is her story says, like, her father tried to slit her throat after he found out that she was pregnant. But then he also gave her, like, a cut across the stomach, like he was trying to get rid of the pregnancy. Why would he do both? Like, you
Well,
either
maybe.
try and get rid of the pregnancy or you kill your daughter. You don't need to do both. One will do the other, kind of thing.
Well,
Like,
there's.
he didn't sound like a professional surgeon, so you if you're trying to instigate a dead child, then you're probably going to kill her anyway. If you're going to slit her throat, the child's going to die anyway. Like, it felt really weird that she mentioned that she had a scar here and a scar here, because like it just doesn't quite make sense.
I suppose there's a few ways that that can be interpreted. When she says he gave me the scar, was she pointing to like her womb, or yeah, like, so
Yeah, she said like scar down here,
yeah,
I think.
like an abortion type scar. Like, well, I would assume that, like, you know, because of her getting pregnant, that would mean what she said. You know, that's why she sort of said. It he did that as well, as in like he's the cause of the scar, even though it might, I don't know, it could have been a maester or someone who did it. Maybe probably not a maester, probably some, I don't know, like I guess this,
Baccarat.
yeah,
Don't
it's
know, it's
probably
just,
not a great way of, yeah.
but sure.
yeah, I just it felt like it felt a little broad for a very intimate personal story, and specifically it didn't line up with some of the stuff she said previously. Now again, this could be for the first time sincerity. In the same way, if we're constantly putting lines between Missandei and Larys, if this is Larys's first time being truly sincere with another character and potentially opening up to making a bond with their character, maybe this is Masaria's first time truly opening up to a character about their vulnerabilities and trying to make a genuine connection with them.
Bingo,
And
you got
that
it.
is really lovely. That really is lovely. But equally, I'm just like, oh, but she also slept with Damon and I don't trust her.
I think you've nailed it there.
This
I
show has
think
broken my confidence in people.
this no, I think you've got it. I think the reason we I don't think I'm not gonna say we know that it's sincere, but the reason I think we can suspect that it's sincere is because there's usually either a mirror or a contrast between black and green, and I think in this case it's a mirror where Laris, Master of Whisperers, Spy Master, is using his authenticity to connect with the person in charge, and Missaria is using her or like her authentic pain to connect with the person in charge on their side. Like it's I think where they're previously very guarded about their scars, as it were. So I think this is kind of how we know. It's otherwise it'd be more obvious that it's a contrast, either that one of them would be obviously lying whilst the other would obviously be telling the truth, but it's not like that. There's I think there's it seems to be a mirror rather than a contrast. That's yeah, I think you've got that, Jenny. I think take yeah
Yeah,
that take some credit for that one. I think it's
like
good.
it was nice. Like again, I oh, in a way, I it's one of those things where like things are going too well at the moment. Like the Tullys, like the matriarch is or the patriarch is dead, so Daemon can finally like get his shit together. Alice seems to be at maybe an ish for Daemon.
Oh, I'm not
Romeo is
sure.
getting nice makeouts. We've got a
I
dragon seed on a dragon. Like I'm waiting for it to all go tits up for reals.
I've seen the next episode preview, and I think
I've not.
I've only seen it once a few days ago, but I think that that prob that Grover Tully being mysteriously offed is I think that's a bad omen. I think that might cause Damon more problems. It might be a
Yes, well, in
false
all fairness, he did say to the Tully lad, like, why didn't you kill your grandfather? When the Tully's words are like family duty honor, like,
That
dude, really? Like
order of importance, yeah.
family duty honor, and you're like, hey, do you want to kill your granddad?
Yeah. See,
Damon, you're
and
not
there,
that stupid.
that demonstrates, because Rhaenyra was talking about how, like, as a woman, she needs to know, was it every village or every, was it
Like
the lord of
every
every
household
house?
from here to
Yeah. So if
the
Rhaenyra was
school she
making the
was brought up.
decisions, yeah. And if Rhaenyra was making the decisions, she would know family duty honor. She'd know those words. She'd know that order.
The
Daemon,
same way that
yeah.
Sansa was brought up to be a young lady of court, so she knew all the family, she knew all the songs, she knew all of the. And I have no doubt Alicent knows all of it off by heart, which is why she would make a really good political. Like, she should have a seat at the table because I have no doubt Alicent knows every single family member of every single household. She knows when they had babies. Like, I have no doubt she has, like, lodged that into her brain from when she was a child.
Wasn't it? Wouldn't it be? Isn't it an interesting irony that it could very well be the case that Alicent would be a really good queen, but is an awful mother, and Aegon would actually kind of be like a decent dad, but also a terrible king? I don't know. Just maybe I don't know if he'd be a decent dad. I don't know.
I'd say he's a bastard in the fighting pit.
Oh, okay,
He enjoyed
yeah. You
his
bring up the
son.
bastards, is oh.
Oh, they're just bastards,
Oh.
so I mean, they don't really count.
Max is coming in and just being like, I dropped the microphone, you need to pick it up.
It's always about the bastards, isn't it? I'm never gonna
So,
Jenny, do you have
never
a
really
hard
get
out at
that.
Jenny, do you have a
I
hard out
do.
at
I have
midnight?
to. I need to leave the house at six in six
Oh my
hours
God.
for
Okay. I mean, you're an
work.
absolute legend for even making it this far. So, okay, we said everything we want to say, or is there any final remarks?
Yep, all my notes are done. I'm sure there's something that I'll think, oh, dang it, I didn't say that, but my notes are done.
It was always next week. What about you, Max?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you next week. Fingers crossed it's a good one.